let us know when you're ready.
Ready when you are.
Tony, 1946, when you came back, you went to work for the Free Press, and you've been with that organization since that time in one capacity or role or another.
Well,
what
I've been
have you seen the changes that have taken place, Tony?
Well, I've been with the Free Press since 1946 and still to the present day. My experience at the Free Press, I think it was my greatest experience of my life. Working for the Free Press, working for as a photojournalist, you have to love the profession. If you don't, it's one of those things. To me, I enjoyed it and I loved the work I was doing. Because you realize that photojournalism involves all aspects of life that can evoke a human response and experience through the medium of a camera. You have to love current events, you have to love people. It's a very, very challenging thing. Every day, every morning you went out, you experienced a new event, a new thing, a new challenge. You do the best you can. In other words, honesty in reporting is very important in doing these jobs. I personally liked every day I went to work. Whatever came up, we started. In 1946, of course, we had the famous speed graphic camera, which was a trademark of photojournalists. That was, in other words, you had to know how to use a speed graphic. To me, I thought it was a wonderful camera. I did a lot of great photography with the 4x5. And working with people at the Free Press is a very important challenge, too. In other words, the managers, managing editors, the executive editors, the people that you work with the Free Press contribute to your success also. They trusted you. They wanted you to do what the best you can. They look forward in doing this thing. The first person that really had to work with the Free Press was Lee Hills. Lee Hills came to the Free Press in 1950. He became executive editor, and from that time I worked with Lee Hills all through the years. In other words, Lee Hills, in 1952, promoted me to chief photographer of the Free Press. That's when we made a big change, started to change. Converted the darkrooms, made new darkrooms, individual darkrooms for photographers. As a matter of fact, that darkroom system is still in use today. I took out all the old days of photography and took me about 4 months to design and build a new photography department. As we went along with the people with the Free Press, we had other people I enjoyed working with in the early days. Frank Angelo was the managing editor of the Free Press. I did know Malcolm Bingay, who also was the editorial director of the Free Press. And all these people that you worked with were knew of you, you gave them advice, you handled all the different assignments with them. Editors that you worked with, picture editors, we had Charlie Hahn, who was a very excellent picture editor at the Free Press. And you handled the staff. You had, in other words, I was given complete control of running the photographic department. Great people like Bruce Campbell, the city editor at the time also. I remember Bruce Campbell, the first assignment, the political assignment he wanted to give me was to go to the Chicago National Conventions in Chicago, both the Republican and Democrat. And this is the first time the Free Press ever sent a photographer to cover a convention. So I did both of them. And John Knight was the editorial director of all the night newspapers, and of course I was his photographer at the conventions too. We went to different parties and covered different things with him, the great Pearl Mesta parties. But it became, from the 52 convention, politically, people now, I set a tradition that they wanted me to keep going and all, every time any president or big person would come in town, I had to go ahead and get the credentials to cover these things. A lot of great people I worked through. Decades have proven through the Free Press. Big change came in 1955. The change came is that we decided to go to 35 millimeter cameras. I used 35 in the Navy, and I used 35 millimeter cameras way before, but all the newspapers throughout the country were using 4x5 speed graphic. Okay. So I talked to the people involved in the Free Press, also talked to Lee Hills and all the people. I said, we got to go to 35 millimeter. It was a big challenge for a newspaper to start doing this. How do you do it? It was a problem. People were used to the 4x5, hold her in, pull the sheet out, take the picture, turn it around. So we started with 35 millimeter.
What were the advantages of a 35 millimeter?
Advantages were that you didn't have to carry, you could get more pictures.
Right.
In other words, a roll of 36 exposures in one film camera. With a speed graphic, you only show one picture at a time, put the slide in, take your holder out, turn it over, flip it over, pull your slide out, and one holder you had two pictures, and that took time. With the 35 millimeter, you could put the film in. You had the advantage of taking 36 pictures on one roll.
You could take them more quickly then.
Quickly and more without the going through all the cumbersome things of using the speed graphic camera.
What was the difference in quality of the end?
Well, that's what we're going to talk about. The idea is that in a quality, you had to have processing. Technically, your exposures, you had to be, see, with the 4x5 speed graphic camera, you had a little bit more latitude in your exposures because you had a large film format. The 35 millimeter, you had to be a little bit more accurate in your exposures, but still, black and white film, you had a lot of latitude with it. What we did, took half the staff at one time, decided to go ahead, show the half about 35 millimeter cameras, knowledgeable. I had us get a dark room set up strictly for 35 millimeter. You loaded your film on a reel. They had two rolls, you had two reels, you developed them. We didn't have any automatic processors at that time because they were probably one of the first newspapers starting on 35 millimeter. The other newspapers that came into the field of using 35 was the Milwaukee Journal. I think Milwaukee Journal also, have to give them credit, started about the same time I did. We had Bob Dumke, who was starting off on 35. But I think I was unaware of what they were doing, but they still were very active. But I think we were a little ahead of them at the time. So finally we saw the advantage of the 35 millimeter camera, what it did. You knew what type enlargers I had to get. In other words, you had to get a concept. You had to have both systems going, the 4x5 enlargers and the 35 millimeter enlargers, so we could still has 4x5 film put in enlargers. The staff got to understand 35. Before you know it, little by little, we got the entire staff going.
Did both types have allow you to do color?
Not yet. We are doing color. We started color. That was a different process. Going back, I started doing color with the Free Press called ROP, the one-shot Curtis color camera. The one-shot Curtis color camera had three black and white holders that you shot through blue, green, and red filters, give you the separation to a black and white film. So you process them evenly, then you made what you call black and white separate prints from those. The yellow printer, the red printer, and the blue printer. So you had those done in your registration mark. And we would run them, what we call ROP, which run a press color. But we had registration problems, you know, because we are still running zinc plates. And when you made the stereotype, you know, sometimes the end of the picture would stretch a little bit due to the pressure of making a mat. So we had registration problem with the ROP, but the color was good. If we had a large picture, color would reproduce fine. The registration was off a little bit, it didn't matter. It was the problem when we had small pictures. And the registration was off, you could notice it right away. We had our production manager, Henry Lentz. He carried a half-dollar bill, a half-dollar coin, you know, a 50-cent piece. Every time we made a picture, I want the head this size, no smaller, he'd say, because the registration problem. So it was a good theory to go by because you couldn't keep the pictures in perfect register. But by the end of 1956, everybody was on 35-millimeter cameras. We had people from all over the country coming in. The New York Times came over. They wanted to see how we were doing 35-millimeter. We showed them it was a different system and how. They all were very amazed because we were really on the forefront of going in 35-millimeter camera. As we get along on color, management always went along with me. Lee Hills was very wonderful, giving me the opportunity to always have these new innovations, new challenges that came in with us and being the forefront of all the things that were happening. Again, we did negative color. Kodak was coming out with Kodak color film. That was negative color film. Well, with negative color film, I thought it'd be great to go ahead and make a color print, the size, and run them in a paper. As an experience and challenge, in 1966, we didn't have a color lab. I had the print made. I shot the opera, the Masonic Temple, in negative color. I think it was, we used a picture of Mrs. Ford and the rest of them. Shot in negative color, and also at Wayne State University, we shot some pictures at the Hilbert Theater in color, a negative color. We ran, I made the print, the size we're going to run on page. A picture came out in 1966, the first newspaper ever to use negative color film in a newspaper. Print made the size, but it was a slow process coming on. We didn't have newspapers to run color. It was very expensive. You had to have an advertiser to run color in the paper to an ad to support the color print. But that still was in the mind. In the 60s, it slowed down the color. So we still taking black and white, and color was put on the shelf temporarily for a while. But we dealt with many things. In the 50s, you know, to me, I think, was the greatest era of newspapers. The greatest era, the 50s, all the way through the 50s. We ran big spreads. Magazines were very popular, Life and Look. They were all running pictures. Pictures were really the essence of newspapers. I had a camera called, we called Dale Davis was the one. I ran a 140-angle-degree camera that we made was a Panon. We run these large pictures we call photoscope, 8 columns, take a 100-degree angle photograph, which is great, running these big spreads. The dedication of the Mackinac Bridge, I took an aerial picture of that, and I shot that with infrared film because due to the haze that was always there, we ran that 16 columns. Life magazine picked it up, and they ran it a double truck across the page. This was a wide angle. We were to shooting wide-angle pictures before anyone ever thought of it in any newspapers. We're running 8-column and 16-column pictures all the way through. It was a great era in that time. Pictures were used, back pages, great. Then came the 60s. To me, I think the 60s was really a period of frustration. We had, you know, the beginning of the Vietnam War. We had protesters, the beatniks, and all these people all coming in at do-your-own-thing era. You know, everyone, do your own thing, you know. It was really terrible. That was also dealing with photographers. Do your own thing. They use a wide-angle lens, a long telephoto lens, and nothing in between. It's either big or short. This is the new breed coming in. It was really frustrating. Picture editors were beginning to be the same way. Exactly. They used to cut off top of heads, slice the chin off, take one eye. It was a period of cropping the pictures extremely that were practically not even identifiable that they were working with people. But it was an era, and it showed in our pictures with all the different protests we were taking and marches that we had. It was really a... But at the same time, this was happening now in the 60s, film was being improved, 35-millimeter film. They're becoming a finer-grain film, 200 speed, the 400 speed, it's still black and white. Kodak came out with Kodacolor, but it wasn't really in the sense of being used primarily with newspapers. The 70s was a period of calm. We had the Vietnam War and everything else, little protests, but it began to slow down. The protesting, the beatnik area sort of ended. You could see it with the photographers, too, that period of ending. The new breed was coming, getting their senses down, and taking pictures what newspapers were all about and reporting what was happening. So the period of the 70s were really incorporated. The photographers coming at that time, a lot of them beginning to going to college, taking photojournalism, to get educated, understanding more about photojournalism. You had colleges that offering degrees in photojournalism, Missouri, Kent State, Ohio University, Indiana University. These were primarily the key colleges that were really offering degrees in photojournalism. And they were coming up, understanding a little bit more what our profession was all about. The late 70s, in 1979, was a period of really change. We had a fellow came in to the Free Press, his Lee Hill, this was there yet, temporarily. A fellow by the name of Dave Lawrence was brought in. Dave Lawrence knew of me. Came from Miami, from Charlotte. He was the executive in Charlotte, North Carolina. He came over and called me in his office. Said, I know all about you and everything else. And what is my idea in newspaper? What do you think we should do to improve? Now, we're talking about 19, came in 79 or 78. And I said, well, I would like to see us run color. Color is the thing that really is going to be a forefront of going there. He said, what do you think we should do? I said, well, I've been working with Kodak on different things. I could show you some examples of what we did in color, negative color. And I think we should have a color lab built. And he said, why don't you go ahead, get me a proposal, what you want to do, get it all ironed out, what we have to do to run color. So I worked along with Dave Lawrence, and Sandy White at that time was also the graphics editor of Free Press, and she was very anxious too, and of course he worked closely with Dave Lawrence, and wanted to go ahead and see that the color was done to Free Press. So I designed a color lab, that we had to have it separate from the black and white department. In other words, I had no way of going how newspapers should have a color lab because there wasn't any. No newspaper was running negative color. So I talked with Kodak, thought what we should have, and I designed a complete color lab what we would have to do it. The only way we could run this color, I told Dave Lawrence, is that you got to have, first of all, the technical aspects and a place to do it. They can't work by hand. You got to have a color lab. So it took us 6 months to build a color lab in the Free Press. We got a section to do it. We built it right next to the black and white photo department, which is still in use today. He was very excited about it. Dave Lawrence would come in every day and see how the color lab was going. So we started on negative color. I had a train. I took Helen McQuarrie, who was our black and white printer. She was a very, very efficient printer. And I hired her earlier in the mid-60s and hired her to do the... I said, she said, well, no, I never did color. So I trained him. If you're a good black and white printer and processor, I want you to give the same thought in doing negative color. There won't be any problem. So we trained her on how to process and do color. We started the first thing, we used the machine, the Wing Lynch processor for negative color. And we started. We had the lab. We were shooting. Every time we had the assignment, we'd sign whether we should do it in color or black and white. At that time, it was black and white. So we were running color 3 times a week. The way we did a negative color to make it easier is that we had to make the prints the size. In other words, making the prints the size, if you had to run 3 pictures on a page or 2 or 3 on page 1, the pictures were made the size. They would scan the whole page on a HAL scanner. And that would keep the registration for the whole page intact, making the prints the size. So we go by picas. They'd measure out so many picas for the pictures, for the layouts. This would be maybe 2 by 3 inches. This would be 8 inches. Some were 12 inches, whatever we had. But we got 56 picas or 42 picas or 16 picas. They'd measure the picture how they wanted. We used to make a quick black and white proof. So they didn't know how to scan the pictures the size they wanted. They make the layout. So we print the pictures the size. They'd put them all down on one large newspaper and put them all on the scanner and register the whole page. It worked so good. The reproduction, the HAL scanner, the registration was always perfect. Right away, I was made the chairman of the color workshop for the National Press Photographers Association in 1981. The newspapers from all over the country had the workshop, color workshop. We had the first big one in 1982. We brought them down to the Free Press. We had them all from the Washington Post in California, the Newsday. All these newspapers came over, the Associated Press, AUPI, Toby Massey from AP came over. All these people came over to see how we ran color in the newspaper. No newspaper was running color the way we were doing it, printing the pictures the size so we get the registration. And they all were so amazed at how we brought them through the whole setup. And it worked so great in that they liked it so much. Do you realize that I started the wire service, Reuters, UPI, all on negative color? Wire services. It was so easy to process. What we call a C41 process. Today, AP, Reuters, all of them use negative color exclusively. They don't use black and white film anymore because you can make a black and white print from it. They transmit from negative color. So everything is taken on negative color. Today at the Free Press, it's all we do is negative color. All the papers throughout the country that use color today have gone to negative color. And as a pioneer that I started this and get credit for starting the newspapers and using color in newspapers today.
So to go back a bit, in 2 ways that you've described already in the introduction of the 35mm camera, as well as color, you and the Free Press pioneered in the country and was one of the leaders in this transition in photojournalism and newspaper publishing.
Well, we were recognized.
Right.
And honored. Received different awards for our advantages.
Right.
You have to give a lot of credit to Dave Lawrence
right.
for allowing me to do this, who had confidence and trusted me, and knowing that if I failed in doing this, it would be a disaster. But I knew it wouldn't from my years of experience way back in the early 60s and 50s. I saw that this was a way to go ahead. I had people at the Free Press that sometimes didn't like the idea of color. I worked with many great editors at the Free Press. Al Newhart was assistant to the publisher at the time. He then became chairman of the board of Gannett Newspapers. And he was the guy that started the newspapers USA Today and National Newspapers. Al Newhart, every morning, we'd get together and talk. In other words, I reported to him on what we had to do and things. It was just a great thing that I worked with people all the way through these years that experienced quite a different things. A lot of big assignments too came up along the way. We had, for an example, the riot in 1968. And I was called home on a Sunday morning. I remember we had to go to a picnic. And they called up, they said, the city is burning. Sunday morning I got a call, so urgently I went downtown and they were bringing in the troops, National Guard. So I had a zoom lens, a 35 to 200 zoom. I took two Nikon cameras, put a lot of film in my pocket, and away I went and joined in the National Guard as he went into the area of the riot. And things were flying and things were thrown around and bricks going. So why? My military experience came in a little handy. I knew that when the military guards came in, they walked along the side of the building so they wouldn't be in the middle of the street, you know. So I tagged along with them and followed through, and they, people from the rooftops were throwing things, or snipers, and the National Guards were worried. They were looking up and shooting. And I was clicking away as we walked along and all these different things. One became very popular, they got the Free Press work, the Pulitzer Prize on. The coverage of the riot was a National Guardman looking up with snipers with the city burning in the background. Also, many other things that we had. But one interesting thing came that first day of the riot. There were no cabs, nothing in the street. And there I was in the middle of, I think, 12th Street. The time going in, I had all the film. I looked at the clock, it was now about 4 o'clock, 4:30. And how do I get back to the Free Press? In the middle of the street, at that time, was the fire commissioner, Tom Angott. If you ever heard of Tom Angott, I knew Tom Angott. He saw me in the middle, what are you doing here? I said, well, I got to get back to the paper. I have these films. He says, how are you going to get back? He says, there's no cabs, there's no nothing. They stopped everything. I said, well, I got to get back. And that's quite a ways to walk down the city. He says, never mind. He says, we'll take you back. He put me in one of the fire cars, and he drove me back to the Free Press, which was quite a compliment. I thought it was good. Every time I see Tom, I tell him, remember that day of the riot? He said, I know.
This but was a Sunday.
This was on a Sunday. It happened started Saturday night. See,
I wondered why they played the Tiger game that day. I listened to it on the radio driving home that Sunday afternoon. I was downtown without knowing there was a riot. And I didn't find out till about 6 o'clock that night. That
I don't know. How the people got there is beyond me.
Right.
But of course, they probably got there, but I don't think there were many people going down there because
they didn't know it.
They had a curfew because the military came in the afternoon on Sunday. And it was let me tell you, it was like a war zone, believe me.
Were you one of the few photographers there at the riot?
One of the few other ones were there too, but I think I was the only one that jumped in with the National Guard.
Yeah. see.
Other ones went in because I knew where they were coming in, and I jumped on a truck with them where I was. But I think there were other stars, TV people, all were coming down and shooting. But I think I was the only one that went in with the National Guard. But the next day, you know, went on for 4 or 5 days, and we had covering. The city was all curfew in the city. You couldn't be out there, so I had to stay downtown. When I left that Sunday, I didn't get home for 4 or 5 days. I had to stay in a hotel downtown. So on the second day, decided to get down there. We had special access to drive. Take your car and put it in one place. So I remember this photographer I brought with me, Dick Tripp. I said, drive down that street. He said, well, I don't think we could drive down. I said, we got to go down that street because we could leave the car and go in there. And as we drove down the street, there's a National Guardman pulling his rifle right at us. And he said, he stopped. He said, and right away we signaled with the press, you know, back in the thing. He said, well, you're not supposed to be here. So we got along with them. As a matter of fact, I respected both sides. I didn't take sides one way or the other in a riot. I just covered it and covered it very good. I think I must have taken over 800,000